Welcome to Kingdom Living Today with Pastors Desiree and Angelo Andrews, broadcasting live from Sounding the Alarm Kingdom Ministries in Tallahassee, Florida. Now, let's join them for a word from God just for you.
Hello and praise God. Thank you for joining me and my special guest here on Kingdom Living Today. Now, let's get started.
Help me welcome my special guest, Prophet Norman Qualls from Faith Worship Center International and AHM Ministries in Columbus, Georgia. Prophet, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Pastor Dan. How about you?
I'm doing great. And again, I just want to thank you for joining us here on Kingdom Living Today. We so look forward to what you have to say and hearing what God has given you for the body of Christ. So let's jump right in. And with that, Prophet, just first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. I was originally born in Detroit, Michigan. I moved to the South relatively young. Around about 12 years old, my mother had a brain aneurysm, and she had gotten real sick, and she was in the hospital for almost a year. And at that point in time in my life, it took a turn for the worse. Mm. I was under the impression that my mom was not going to make it, so I gravitated to the streets. And once I got out in the streets, It just went haywire. I went haywire in the streets, and the thing was, when my mom started to get better, it was too late for me. I had already started using drugs. I had started drinking. I had started just running wild, and started selling drugs. And next thing I know, I ended up in a YDC. Got out of YDC, turned around, did the same thing, ended up getting, at the time they would call it being committed to the state. That means that's the equivalent of being found guilty in the adult system. So I ended up going to being shipped down the road to Macon, YDC here in Georgia, and got into some trouble there. Actually ended up striking a counselor, and I ended up getting sent to the worst facility in the state, which was Millersville YDC at the time, and got out of there. Once I got out of there, continued the same thing, came right out and started back getting into trouble, moved to the adult system, getting in and out of trouble, in and out of jail, in and out of fights, doing just whatever, selling drugs. And eventually I ended up going to prison three separate times. First time I went to prison, I heard God call me. I heard the call upon my life. Back in, I would say it was 2000, and I was in a prison. I was in Muskogee County Prison. Actually, I was here in Columbus. And when I got out, I left God right there. Hmm. Got out, went right back to the streets, right back to doing the things that I had previously been doing. Ended up getting busted, coming back to prison. Prison the second time, did the same thing, got into my word, Lord, I'm going to do this, Lord, I'm going to do that. Next thing I know, I got out, went right back to the streets. But the third time was different. Things took a turn for the worst in my life. It's my drug uses, it just spiraled out of control. By this time, I was powder cocaine was my drug of choice. But I was more of an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic. It got to the point to where I couldn't wake up in the morning without shaking or without throwing up, without doing this, without doing that, without having a drink. So, you know, I ended up getting busted again, ended up selling to some undercover agents and going back to prison for a third time. This third time, though, when I first got to the county jail, I remember I slept about a week. I only got up, you know, to go take a shower. I told one of my roommates that was a friend of mine. I was like, look, man, whatever whatever food they bring, you can have it all. You can do this. Just give me the liquid. I'm just going to take a shower and just do this and that. Because I had been on cocaine for so long. I had snorted so much cocaine till my body was just, I just needed detox. And so I heard God one day. When I finally got up and I went downstairs to sit on the table, I sat on the table and I just looked around. And I looked around and I saw a lot of young men, 17, 18, 19, running around playing like it was a joke, you know. And I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And at the time I said, I can't do this anymore, I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, he even called me son at that moment. He said, son, if you go out there with the same thing, I'm not going to promise you life.
Mm.
I got serious right then and there.
Hmm.
I went on and got shipped off to Baldwin State Prison. Baldwin State Prison is where I got saved. And I want to say this right here because we have taught people so much in the church that tradition that you have to come to the altar, you have to get saved that way. Okay, God does do it that way, but it's not always done that way because I got converted right by just being in the service. I felt the Holy Spirit move inside of my body so heavy while I was in a service at Baldwin State Prison. I had actually been to the altar so many times. I had so many fake salvific experiences. I believe God was like, look, let me save this boy because he don't know what he's doing. So anyway, God saved me. God saved me. I felt conversion. And that's just not, I don't want to minimize the altar call. That's not what I'm doing. But, you know, we don't want to limit God about how God, and because God is sovereign. He does things in ways sometimes that's not explainable to humans. So I just wanted to put that in there, Pastor Dez.
Amen. And that is so true because, I mean, there are some people that may never make it to an altar call, but yet they can still be saved. There's some people, as they say, they be saved right in their bathroom, crying out to God because they just feel so heavy. And at that point, they feel so worthless. And, you know, they may be at the point of suicide, some of them, and they cry out to God and God answers them. And he delivers and saves them whole. And so, yeah, I understand what you're talking about as far as, you know, it's not necessarily we have to do it that way. That's where one of the things I believe we go off because people have set so many traditions that we feel we have to follow. But we got to take God out of that traditional box and just let God have his way. Now, I heard you say all that you have gone through and your troubles and everything. And some would say that perfectly qualifies you to preach the gospel, you know, and to proclaim God's word because you've been there, done that, as they say. And you're able and there's some people that you'll be able to reach that the goody two shoes, as we can say, will never, ever be able to reach. So, you know, that's a good thing. And the way God does things, who are we to question? Who are we to question who he calls, when and how, whatever point they are in their lives? So, Prophet, that is something that your experience is all for your qualification. And I'm quite sure you already know that.
And Pastor Dez, let me say this. What I gave was a real mild version of my testimony because, you know, it was a real mild version. Let's just say that, you know.
Amen. I believe it. But that's okay. And we know God still delivers. So with that, Prophet, well, then tell us about your ministry.
Oh, okay. I'm a member of Faith Worship Center International. We also have a sister church in Asheville, North Carolina, which my apostle, Ann Harmon, she planted and she oversees its operations. Let me take a moment and give honor to my covering apostle Ann Harmon. She is a great woman of God. She is a woman of God who God showed me one day in a service her obedience. Service was about to end, and God spoke to her and told her that it was seven people in the ministry in there that morning that needed to be saved. And she did not close the service until those seven people came up there. And we have to understand that in today's church, a lot of people get restless and they want to go But the obedience, I fell in love with her obedience to Christ right there at that moment. I said, okay, this is a true woman of God. And all of those seven ended up coming up. But she did not release. Now, you're free to walk out if you choose. But she did not close that service until those seven came up there. So I said, okay, that's a true woman of God. And I just want to give honor to her, because she is raising me up, and she gave me opportunity to be who God has called me to be. So we also have Ann Harmon Ministries, which consists of Covenant Partners, in which other ministries are welcome to be a part of. Ann Harmon Ministries has a television ministry, which is endowed with power that airs a broadcast every Sunday. It comes on at approximately 9:30. It's a pre-recorded message, but the message is always beneficial and rich with prophetic and apostolic revelation and insight into what God is saying in the now. We also have Global Intercessors under the radar, in which we come together and pray about not only locally, but regional issues and globally as well. Our apostle, she birthed this out of a word from God, and this is her character and how she operates. She will always hear God first. She's a great leader. She's open to input, but she will always hear God concerning in which way the ministry will go. God runs Faith Worship Center, let me say it like that, and Ann Harmon Ministries, not Ann Harmon, and she sees to that. Both are apostolic and prophetic ministries. We operate under Ephesians 4 and 11. We're a fivefold ministry. Each gift is in operation, and although we have an evangelistic team, we believe that each member of the body of Christ, as well as Faith Worship Center International, should operate in some capacity to evangelize. We follow the biblical mandate in Matthew 28 and 19, go ye out, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we believe that every person is deputized as an evangelist. Faith Worship Center operates under many different auxiliaries, in which we have Apostle Casey Lewis, who oversees and who is highly anointed in apostolic administration. If a ministry needs ministerial help, she can definitely come in and help you bring order in that capacity. Again, there are many auxiliaries from children's church, youth church, and of course adults. And Apostle Harmon, she has all three in some form or fashion, getting the same message, because unity in the ministry is very important. She makes sure that whatever is taught in the adult pulpit is chewed on, broken down a little bit, so the children can get it and also the youth can get it, for the children and also the youth. Singles ministry, couples ministry, we have prophetic arts team, men's and women's ministry, and different prayer teams. We have prayer teams that pray daily with specific targets and agendas. Also, our intercessors, in which I am one, that's my first call, intercessor.
Amen.
Our intercessors are on 24-hour call. We're all linked together by email, and urgent prayers go out daily from Elder Daphne Hill, who is our chief intercessor. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I've missed a lot of ministries and auxiliaries that we do have, but for the sake of time, I'm going to move on. But relationship is our thing at Faith Worship Center. That's our thing, relationship, not religion. Our apostle preaches and teaches from a posture of relationship. She's not going to beat you over the head with sin every week. Now, sin has to be pointed out and spoken about sometimes, but relationship is our thing at Faith Worship Center, because what Apostle Harmon understands is when you have that relationship with God, you'll stop doing sinful things.
That's right.
Once your relationship gets intact with God, you'll stop doing the foolish stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Faith Worship Center is a free atmosphere. We're free to submit prophetic words. Somebody in the pew has a prophetic word, and release them with the elders providing avenues. Of course, elders oversee these prophetic words. But you're free to come up and to submit that word. And if it's what God is saying and it flows with the service, you're free to do that. It's a culture of freedom at Faith Worship Center.
Amen.
It's a culture of freedom, and we have from God every year an overall theme in which God communicates a specific subject each month. Say for instance, this year is divine discernment. Our overall theme for this year is divine discernment. To put it in a nutshell, the mind of Christ, to operate out of the mind of Christ. And last month, the theme was drawing near to God, drawing near to God in Psalms 91, God's protection and provision. So we always, because our apostle is a prophet, she is a prophet, and she specifically hears from God, and she says, okay, this is what God is saying, the theme this year, and each month, God will have her or apostle or Mike Grant, which is a son, awesome man of God. He'll maybe do some teaching concerning what God is saying for that month. Awesome studies. I mean, awesome messages. Always a now word. It's always relevant. You know, we're teaching. The Holy Spirit runs Faith Worship Center and Ann Harmon Ministry. We're saying what God is saying. Nobody's preaching from intellectual messages. Nobody's teaching from their theological education, because although we understand, okay, you need to have your doctrine right, you need to have your theology right, that's cool. But the people in today's, and I'm already preaching, but the people today need to hear something relevant. People don't understand. People don't know who Paul is. People don't know who Peter is. People, what the ministers need to understand in this day and age is, we have to get into the passage, and okay, we understand the history and all of that, but we need to extract from that something that's relevant to the people today, because the people are not going to come into the churches with you coming out and beating them up with sin messages all the time.
That's right.
I've been, Pastor Dez, I've been to some places, and I've been a part of some ministries where every week it's a sin message. Now, we all know that, you know, you have to tell people you don't need to do this and you don't need to do that. But beating people down with what I call the law, it's not going to get them to, it's not going to get them to change the way they do things. The Bible says this. Jeremiah 31 talks about loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Yes.
One of the things Christ is doing in his end time church, and I spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, Apostle Jeanette's line, but I want to reiterate some of that this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Fivefold ministers, we need to step up.
Yes.
If you're a fivefold minister, it's time for you to equip the saints like the Bible talks about in Ephesians 4.
Agreed.
Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. It's time for us to do what God has called us to do. Let me take my specific office and talk about that. Prophet. Okay. The prophetic office is so, I'm going to just say, so dummy down in this day and age, because everybody just wants to build and plant.
Mm-hmm.
But they miss four of the things that God spoke to Jeremiah in 1:10. He said, root out, pull down, destroy, and throw down. Then build and plant.
Right.
But prophets today, they only want to speak a word. They only want to prophesy your house. They only want to prophesy your car. But prophesying all the time without tearing, with prophesying any time concerning a lot of things without rooting out, pulling down, destroying, and throwing down, it's not going to last. This is why a lot of times people don't see fulfillment of prophetic words.
That's right.
Because the prophet will give, he'll give some specific instructions, or he'll give a scripture, or whatever he does in that prophecy, and the people don't follow it.
Hmm.
The people do not follow what the instructions say. Then they want to call that person a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say this. Let me say this now. If God doesn't give specific instructions during a prophecy, what God wants you to do is seek the answers on your own. God wants you to go into your prayer closet, and he's going to release the instructions to you.
Well,
but let me get back to the tearing down part. Prophets, we're spiritual warriors. We're spiritual warriors, and the first thing a warrior should be able to do is fight.
Yes.
And see, I have to question a lot of people that call themselves prophets, because if you're a prophet, first and foremost, you're an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
You are not a prophet if you did not walk in intercession first.
Hmm.
Yeah. Every prophet is an intercessor. Every intercessor is not a prophet, but every prophet is an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing a prophet should be doing is hearing from God. He should be in his prayer closet. He should be pulling down, like God said in Jeremiah. He should be rooting out. He should be destroying. He should be throwing down. Then when he comes to build and plant, to speak a word, that word will stick. I spoke about this in the message on Apostle Jeanette. That's why we're trying to build and plant on shaky ground. Jesus spoke about this in Matthew 7:24-25. We're building on shaky ground.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're trying to plant something in the church or on people, telling people something about their life, and they haven't torn down specific things. When you speak a specific word to someone, most of the time it's going to come in conflict with something that's already there. That there needs to be torn down so that the fulfillment of what God is saying can be witnessed and seen in that person's life, in that ministry, in that region, and even globally. There's a message to America, this day. And most of the message to America is repent.
Oh yeah.
And it's not necessarily to everybody, because everybody ain't gonna be saved and everybody ain't going to repent. But I'm specifically speaking about the church, those who call themselves saved, and those who are saved. We need to take a look at ourselves. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves, because there are some things that's coming to America that if we are not in Psalms 91, we can end up being a casualty.
That's right.
See, I know we all want these. We all want these old nice sermons, and we all want these nice prophetic words. But here's a prophetic word for you. If you don't get up under the, if you don't get in the ark of safety, if you don't engulf yourself in Psalms 91 in this hour, the enemy is going to find you.
Yes.
And if the enemy finds you, he's in his third dimension right now. He's already stole and killed. He's in destruction mode now.
Well.
And he's just not trying to destroy one person. See, a lot of us have a minuscule understanding of demonic activity and how Satan operates. The Bible, Jesus gave us the prerequisite. He said that Satan's kingdom is not divided. So what am I saying? I'm saying this. He wants to control territories, reach. See, that's how you bring destruction. Destruction doesn't come upon one person. Destruction come upon a region, a territory, a certain geographical location.
That's right.
That's what the enemy is trying to do. The enemy is actually trying to wipe out Christianity in America.
Mm-hmm.
We see it every day. Look at the laws that are being changed.
Yes.
And it's all the way to headship. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to even go that far.
Go ahead.
but it's all the way to headship. When we have, And I pray for the leader of our country. But when we have, because when you're in a position of headship, you're in a position to allow things to come into the country or come into the city. And this goes down on every level to people in positions of leadership. You're a gatekeeper, whether you know it or not. And when you don't fulfill your function, they say this is one nation under God, so we should be following principles, the principles of the Bible.
Yes.
Why are we not doing that?
That's
when
right.
when we have our commander in chief okaying and allowing certain bills to be passed, that releases certain things into this country.
Amen.
That right there released a Biden in the Hebrew and Apollyon in the Greek, spirits of destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Which necessarily these spirits rule their mountain. Their mountain is media.
Mm.
But they have spread it all over the United States. And remember, Satan's kingdom is not divided. One spirit gets in, he pulls the other in. This principality in. But not so in the church. We can't even work together. Satan's kingdom can work together, but we can't. We got Baptists fighting Methodists, Methodists fighting Presbyterians, Presbyterians fighting Kojic. It's just so many religions and spirits of indifference. When God is calling for unity, the Lord says is where he commands the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to unify in the church. Okay, we all believe, we all have different things that we may believe or that we may not believe. But for the most part, we all have the same basic doctrine. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We should be able to get along with those three right there.
That's right. Amen.
See, God is calling his church to unify. He's calling his church to unity. And he's calling his fivefold ministers to train and activate his people. Fivefold ministers, if you do not train, if you do not fulfill your office, God is about to remove you.
Well,
this year and next year, especially next year, we're going to see a lot of so-called generals fall in the body of Christ. It's already happening now. Just pay attention to some of the rhetoric that's coming from some of them.
Yes.
Just look at some of the books that they're writing. Oh my God, nothing but humanism. This is not God. How can you write a book without Christ, without scriptures? You're a man of God, but you have no scripture in the Bible.
Right.
It's all intellectual. It's humanism. The light is, God is about to turn the light on. He told me, he said, look, son, he said, man's reign in my kingdom is over. God is a gracious God. He's giving these leaders, these generals, a long time to repent.
Yes.
Trust me. He's been speaking to them for a while about it. But we still have to understand how powerful that principality, Mammon, is.
Oh, yes.
Money for the love. A lot of people quote to say money is the root. No, money is not. Money is not evil. The love of it.
That's right.
See, when people fall in love with money and they start to idolize it, that becomes their God. And when you play something, God told us, he said, I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. Whatever you put before God is an idol.
Yes.
It is your God. But fivefold ministers, God is saying, train his people, equip his people, so his people can go forth under apostolic and prophetic insight and revelation for Mark 16:15-18. He's going to empower the saints to heal the sick, even raise the dead. John 14:12 is coming into play. Yes, Lazarus come forth. Saints are going to be activated in prophetic evangelism. In that passage, Jesus is saying, go out and get the people, go out, teach all nations. And then he gives us how he's going to do it. He's going to do this through the saints.
Yes.
Heal the sick, raise the dead. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. Everything he's saying in that passage from 15 to 18, that is activated now. It's activated now for those who can step into it and receive it.
That's right.
It's activated now. Everything in scripture is already activated. God waiting on us.
That's right.
God is waiting on us. God wants his people activated. And this next fire that's coming in America, because although the enemy is doing what he's doing, God has a remnant. See, this is what people don't understand. Most of Gideon's 300 is not even in the church.
Well,
a lot of his end time army is not even in the church. He finna pull them in. They coming out the prisons. They coming off the streets. They coming out the crack houses. Because you know what? Just as hard as they ran for Satan, they gonna run that hard for God. And see, they're not going to be scared of church people.
That's right.
They don't know no tradition. They don't understand the Pharisaical way of the church today. These people are going to be so grateful to be saved and that God has changed their situation, they're going to say what God say, and they ain't going to care who cares about it.
Amen.
That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. But God wants his people. He wants his people activated. He wants his people activated. Fivefold ministers, if you do not activate God's people in this hour, if a certain pastor, leader, or whoever, if you're not equipped in a certain area, bring somebody in that can help your people. Bring somebody in that can activate your people. A lot of pastors, a lot of leaders do not want to bring true apostolic and prophetic ministry into their church because it's going to expose some things in their church.
Well,
That's the reason why people, we don't trust them prophets. Listen. There are true prophets in the body of Christ. I get so, Pastor Dez, I get so tired of that. Well, he's a false prophet. He's such and such. Okay. But we didn't say stuff like that when we was going to the club.
That's right.
when we was going to the club, somebody might get killed in the club, but we were still going.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't want certain people in our church because they, and you know what? A lot of times it's not that a prophet is false. Sometimes they can miss.
Mm-hmm.
If I had time, I could show you biblically in the book of Acts where a prophet missed.
Mm-hmm.
Concerning Paul. Concerning what something he spoke to Paul.
Hmm.
But God wants his people activated. If they do not activate God's people, that ministry is going to become a standstill ministry, not being able to cross the Jordan until its intended destiny, or he's going to write Ichabod over it.
Hmm.
The Shekinah glory will leave.
Wow.
Or he may just remove that pastor. If the people want it, and the pastor don't, he'll remove that pastor and replace it with somebody else.
Mm.
If the pastor want it, and the people don't, because this is what's happening in a lot of churches today, the people don't want it. The people don't want it because, for the most part, the people that sit in secondary leadership, they're of the passive generation. They don't want to shift.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to shift. You don't have to shift in this hour because God is changing the guard. You're going to have to shift.
Well.
Or you're going to be moved out of the way.
Mm.
And that's exactly what my apostle saw. I come from the pew.
Mm-hmm.
My apostle looked at me, and she saw what God planted in me, and she started putting the microphone in my hand.
Well.
Say what the Lord say. Of course, submitting the word first, not just sending me out there, but guarding me. Still giving me the opportunity, son, say what the Lord's saying. See, we have to train these people, and we can't be scared that they will make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We all made mistakes, but God wants his people activated. And in certain areas, let me speak to areas, because I can hear some people, they're saying, well, okay, we don't have that type of church around here. Don't worry. God is about to raise up prophetic and apostolic churches in areas that people can go to, and they will be able to get the training that they need. They will be able to get the equipping that they need to go forth and do as God has called them to do in the earth.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Prophet, that was such an awesome word. I hate to have to cut it off, but, you know, I just thank God for the word that you have given already. And we're going to have to get you back on again, because I know there is so much what you have said. I know I can attest to, because even our ministry, that's the same thing that we're doing. We're training the leaders, and some of them, they're afraid. I don't want to make a mistake. And I'm like, if you just follow what God say, do. That's the thing about it. We're all going to make mistakes, but that's how we learn. But God is raising up a people who will obey. And I just thank God. I thank God for you again speaking that word to us. And so, Prophet, if someone wanted to get in contact with you, how would they be able to contact you?
I could be contacted at quarrelsnorman@yahoo.com. And I'm also on Facebook. I do a lot of ministry on Facebook, so I can easily be contacted on Facebook, Norman Quarrels, but preferably email. However, it doesn't matter, though. You can contact my email, quarrelsnorman@yahoo.com.
Amen. Amen. And so we just look forward to all that God has for us in activating the fivefold ministry. We thank God. We thank you for this word and for you allowing God to really speak their word to us, what God has given you for us. So with that, Apostle, I'm so sorry that we have to end it here, but we just thank God for you being here on the show with us once again. And we look forward to the next time when we can fellowship again. Amen, Apostle. We thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Kingdom Living Today. Now, let's go into the sanctuary for today's word.
Praise God, hallelujah. We just give God praise, honor, and glory, for he is so worthy to be praised. And so we just bless his name on today. And Today, we are again doing something a little bit different from what we've done before, where this is not actually a sermon that is coming from one of our services, but rather just a teaching that I was impressed to do. And basically, it came about because I have issued a challenge on Facebook. I know you all have seen these challenges. The main one that's going around now is the ice bucket challenge. And yeah, it may be for a good cause. It may be for to help ALS. But the thing is, it's still something that, you know, people are doing. And what's the point? Is really dumping water on yourself, cold water, really going to help ALS? So I came up with this challenge, you know, because there are so many others that are going around, and some of these challenges have gotten to the point where they're just ridiculous. You have the fire challenge, where people are setting themselves on fire. You have the cinnamon challenge. And I just don't understand some of these things. But see, if you look at it, many of these challenges are things that are done to your body, things that are done to your person. And people don't realize this, but that's a spirit. It really is. God gave me this revelation to let us know that is a spirit. Because anytime you do anything to hurt yourself, to hurt your body, that is a spirit. God doesn't want you to hurt yourself. And he tells us, in fact, in his Bible, he tells us, if those who destroy this temple, your bodies, he will destroy. So you have to understand, people are doing these crazy, ridiculous things, the sleep challenge or the pass out challenge, and it's only hurting yourself. So again, I came up with this challenge, the Bible challenge, because this is something that's not going to hurt you. But instead, if we do it, will be something that is going to help you, help your spirit man as well. And so the challenge that I have issued is for 1 week. Yes, I understand. All the rest of those challenges only lasted maybe 15 minutes at that. But understand, with some of those challenges, the effects of them are far reaching. The effects of some of those challenges are going to last longer than that 15 minutes, longer than what you did, you know, at that particular time. So you need to understand that because these things are going on, we need to look at really why, what's happening. There's a spirit behind it. And I'm telling you, this spirit is a spirit that's causing people to destroy themselves, causing people to hurt themselves. And that is a demonic spirit. So with the Bible challenge, it gets you focused in the Word. Okay, so I have challenged people to take a picture of themselves reading the Bible. And of course, you have to actually read the Bible, not just take a picture of yourself. But read the Bible, take a picture of yourself, and whatever passage of scripture that you have read, you have to comment on it. That way we know that you're actually reading the Bible. And this is something that is done or to be done for 7 days. See, because we'll do things one time and call it a day, call it quits. But if we begin to get in this Bible, this is a way that is going to help us to pick up the Bible, to be disciplined in it, because some people only do stuff because they're challenged to do it. Well, I'm challenging you to pick up your Bible and read. I'm challenging you to stop all the rest of this foolish stuff and do something that is going to be beneficial for your soul, beneficial for your spirit. So in doing that, reading the this is my third day doing the Bible challenge, and reading the Bible today, I was in the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And the passage of scripture that I read was from Ezekiel 34, 11 through verse 24. And so I want to read that. I want to read that because when I read it, I really, you know, hadn't planned on doing anything with it other than reading it and commenting on it with the Bible challenge. But then God began to drop some stuff in my spirit. And I tell you, this is something I had to share. I just had to share it. So it reads, "For thus says the Lord God, indeed, I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I shall judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and goats. Is it too little for you to have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat what you have trampled with your feet, and they drink what you have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat and the lean sheep, because you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns, and scattered them abroad. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." Amen. Okay, now I understand some people are like, why did she read all of that? See, I wanted to read it because I wanted to bring out some things in this passage of scripture. You know, I fully understand that this was talking to about Israel, and that, you know, the Israelites were scattered abroad among the different nations, and that God was going to bring them back. But you have to understand something also. We are styled as the Israelites as well. If you have accepted Jesus, if you have accepted God, and if you are living for him, then you are a child of his. You have been engrafted into the family. And so therefore, he is talking about you too. Now, I'm not saying that it's going to be where he's going to gather us back to Israel. We understand that that's what's actually happening or have happened with the Israelites who are over in Israel. But I'm looking at this from the more spiritual point of view, from where we are God's spiritual children, and he is calling us back. He knows whose sheep are his. He knows who belongs to him. The Bible says God knows those who are his. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Thank God that he knows. He cannot be tricked. He cannot be deceived, because you've heard the expression, a wolf in sheep's clothing. And I know you've heard it, and see, what happens is sometimes there are people who say they love the Lord, who say they know God, and say they're running for him, and they're Christians, and they love him, and all of this, and yet they are doing the very things that are not pleasing to him. You say you love him, but you don't love your brother. You have a problem with your brother or with your sister. You say that you love the Lord, but yet you hold grudges. Yet you have an attitude problem. And so you do things that are not beneficial to yourself, not beneficial to your fellow man. And you do things to hurt others. Maybe not on purpose, but some things that are done out of a malicious heart. Some things that are done because you're hurting. And what? Hurting people hurt people. But see, you have to understand what God is saying here. He said he's seeking out his sheep. He's searching for and seeking them out because they were scattered. And understand that there are people all over who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. There are people all over who believe in the one true God, and they are scattered. We are scattered, but God is bringing us back together. He is going to bring us all together. We are scattered all over the place, but God is seeking us out. He's searching for those who are truly his. And then he goes and he talks about the shepherds, because see, the shepherds have gotten away from really tending to the sheep. Now, when you talk about shepherds, we're talking about the leaders. And in talking about the leaders, we see this happening quite often where the leaders are getting off track. For some reason, they are leaving their first love, God. And they are going after other things. They're going after fame. They're going after fortune. They're going after power. They're going after prestige. Whatever it is, they are leaving their first love. They're not tending to the sheep. They don't care for the sheep as long as the sheep is paying for their bills, is paying their way, is putting them up in the fine houses and paying for the fine cars. And God is tired with this stuff that is going on right here. He's tired with of all these things that are going on with the shepherds, the ones who are supposed to be taking care of his flock. He's tired of the shepherds taking advantage of the people. He's tired of all of this. And so he lets us know, because even amongst the people, when he says, I'm going to judge between the sheep and the sheep, between the rams and the goats, he's letting us know, even between amongst ourselves, we say we're a believer, we say we love God, we say we love our fellow man, our brother, our sister, but yet and still we do some things that only an enemy would do to someone else. And so we have to understand that God knows our heart. He knows our heart better than we do. And so we get in a position sometimes where we have this get back spirit. We have this avenging spirit. And I'm just going to get you back. We hold grudges, and we're trying to get one up, be one up, be one better than the other person. But that's not what God told us to do. God told us to love. And even if someone was to do us wrong, the Bible says what? We are to turn the other cheek. Even if someone was to do us wrong, we are to love that person. We are to pray for them. And we don't do that. Well, I'm not going to say we don't, but there are many who don't, who profess to be Christian, who profess to have the love of God down on the inside of them, but yet don't show that very same love. So God said he's going to judge between the sheep and the sheep, between the rams and the goats. He's going to judge between those people that are outside of the church who are doing the church folks wrong. He's going to judge between those people. And you have to understand that when God takes care of a matter, he doesn't leave anything out. So you need to just let God handle his business. Let God do what he needs to do. He goes on in this scripture and he's telling us how he's going to protect us, how he's going to protect and provide, and he's going to make a way for all of us. He's going to take care of the one that's weak, the sheep that's weak. He's going to take care of us, but we have to allow him to do just that. We want to try to take matters into our own hand. But yet, we need to allow God to do what he is going to do. So, understand this. God knows what he's doing. And God knows the motives of each and every one of our hearts. And he knows who's for him. He knows who's against him. He knows who's pretending to be for him. And this is what he is saying here. The shepherds, when he talks about them, when he talks about them, he says, you know, and then he says, it's not enough that you have eaten up the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the residue of the pasture, and to have drunk of the clear waters, that you must foul the residue with your feet. He's letting us know he has given us the good of the land. He has given us good things. And yet we take that and we want more. We take and we take some of these leaders and they have it good. But yet what they do is they have what they have and then they take what you have. And God is saying, but isn't it enough that I have provided for you? I have given you all these good things that you now have to just make it bad for everybody else. And so he's letting us know that he is going to handle that. He is going to take care of that. And you need to be careful when you fall on the wrong side of God's judgment. Really, that's what it is. You really need to be careful when you fall on the wrong side of God's judgment. And he said he's going to judge between the fat and the lean sheep. See, because there shouldn't really be any fat or lean sheep, because if we are all in this together, all of us should be at the same level. And I'm not saying that as far as, you know, we all have the same thing, but I'm saying there should be nobody having an advantage over another person. There should be nobody getting rich because they are taken from you. But you hear it all the time. You hear it all the time where you have some ministries, where you have some people and they want you to give all this money. You may not even have enough money for your own bills, but they tell you, don't worry about that bill. Don't worry about your light bill. If you don't have enough, it must be your seed and you need to give. But see, God wants you to operate in common sense as well. You are supposed to pay your bills and you are supposed to take care of your obligations, and God will give you, he will bless you to be a blessing to others. But see, some people be like, no, don't worry about that. You give to the church, you give to the pastor, you give to the leader, you give to the elder, the bishop, or whoever it is, you give to them and don't worry about it. God's going to take care of you. God's gonna okay. But see, you have to use wisdom. You have to use wisdom. And this is where God is talking about, where the people have, they have made themselves fat while the others are lean. It seems like only the bishop, only the apostle, only the prophet, only the pastor, only the leaders are benefiting, are profiting. And the people, meanwhile, are lacking. You can't have that. You can't have that. And God doesn't want that, because, you know, God looks at us all as equals. And so we need to understand that God doesn't want anybody to have an unfair advantage over any of us. He loves us all just the same. What he does for one, he will do for another. And this is why he said he is going to judge between the fat and the lean sheep. Because the fat sheep have just taken advantage of the lean sheep. It says, you have pushed with side and shoulder, butted all the weak ones with your horns and scattered them abroad. You have done all these things. You have taken advantage of them. Some have used their position and have pretty much, with their position, made you feel, as they say, guilty a person into giving. Well, that's the bishop. You know, you need to give until the bishop. That's the pastor. He done fed your spirit. He done fed your soul. You need to give. Okay. I'm not saying there's nothing against giving. Trust me. I'm not saying that. There's nothing wrong with giving, because you should give. And you should give with a cheerful heart. But when it gets to the point where you're just giving, and you don't have anything to take care of your own self, when you are giving so much to the point where your lights are being cut off, your car note is being foreclosed on, your house is being foreclosed on, that's not in the right spirit. That's not how things should be done. And there are some people that will say that they want you to take out a mortgage on your house so that you can give to the ministry, give to the church. But see, that's not what God wants you to do, because God is going to give in abundance. He gives an abundance for you to bless others. And when people do this and they take advantage of God's people like this, God doesn't like it. And so this is why this passage of scripture is here, because God is letting us know that, look, he is going to take care of the weak sheep. He is going to take care of those that have been trampled on, those that have been overlooked, those that have been gotten over on. He is going to take care of his people. He's going to take care of his sheep. I love this passage of scripture. I love what it says here, because it reassures us that God is on the side of the right. He's on the side of right, and he is going to protect those. He's going to protect his people. He's going to protect his sheep. So you need to understand that it doesn't matter what you're going through, turn it over to God and allow him to handle it. Allow him to do that work in your life that only he can do. Allow him to lead and guide you and bring you into your wealthy place. Allow God to be Lord in your life. Allow him to watch over you, to protect you, to keep you. Hallelujah. We just give God praise. We give him honor. We give him glory. And I just thank him for all that he is doing. Now, I understand this was a very simple, very, very simple teaching. And I really didn't get into it like I really wanted to, but this is enough for starters. And again, this all came about because of the Bible challenge. And this was something that God just dropped in my spirit. And I had to speak on it, because it's speaking to exactly what we're going through today. It's speaking to the issues that we are facing today. Know this also, that this was something that was really spontaneous, but the word does tell us to be instant, in season and out. We are to always be ready to give an answer. And because of this Bible challenge, see, I believe that is what God is doing. He's awakening the spirit, his spirit that is on the inside of his people. And this is why this Bible challenge is essential. For 7 days, you are to read the Bible and then make a comment on it. Like I said, everybody's putting up videos and pictures of them doing these stupid challenges, this, that, and the other. So the least we could do is put up a picture of us reading the Bible. Or if you want to put up a video, you reading the Bible, reading a Bible passage, hey, go for it. But see, this is what we need to do in order to get in the Bible, to get in the book, to begin reading God's word and getting God's word down on the inside of us. So I hope that this has encouraged you to take the challenge. And it's more than just that, because it should be a lifestyle. It should be something that we do every day anyway, that we read God's word, spend time with him, fellowship with him. And when you do that, he communicates to you through his word. You can read his word and God will drop nuggets down in your spirit. It was so befitting, because these are some of the things, like I said, that we are actually facing today, because there are those shepherds, those pastors, those leaders, there are those who are just fleecing the flock. And God wants you to know. You need to get it right. If this is you, if you're a pastor, a leader, and you're doing this, you need to get it right. But if this is you and you're on the other end, then you need to put your hope, your trust in God, and know that God sees and He knows everything that is going on, and He is going to take care of it. And so now I challenge you to also do the Bible challenge for 7 days. We look forward to coming to you again on next time.